live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, and for the next 3 hours in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1, coast to coast on the Odyssey app and via video wherever you are, the YouTube page. Go check us out, 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. Grant and Danny out and about. Our Friday field trip today, Craft House Fairfax, will be here until 6:30.
This place rules. I'll keep that very simple. I see lots of beers. I can't even count how many Daryl taps there are here. I also see beers in the fridge, and all the foodstuffs are tremendous. There's a pile of nachos on that table that's like bigger and taller than your head. I had a grilled cheese. It's not just a regular grilled cheese. That was a buffalo chicken grilled cheese. So take your regular grilled cheese and get on down the line with that. Awesome. I love the spot.
Is that a Daryl Tapp player or Daryl Tapp coach? He's done both for the Commanders.
Well, on the left bank of taps is Daryl Tapp the player.
Okay.
The right bank over there, that's Daryl Tapp the coach.
A little more authoritative and professional.
Yeah, because right. there's fewer taps. It's not frivolous. That right set of taps divided by the brick wall.
Commanders have a bright future. We're talking about their chance to get 7-2 today. It's time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori & Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament or set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Love our guys. Condori and Murrah, we're hitting the road with them again. Hopefully they protect us in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field.
I was told there's a ton of private security traveling with us, like we're foreign dignitaries. Can you confirm that?
I hope that's true. Yeah. That's the only way I'm going to feel confident.
So I clap my hands one time on a Jaden Daniels first down pass, I don't get...
Are you going to rock some burgundy and gold that day?
Maybe underneath. Maybe like in a lower layer. I'm just going to sit there quietly with my hands folded, just happy to be there.
Let's scout the opponent. Let's learn about the New York Giants. Daryl Slater, NJ.com and the Star Ledger, joins us now. Daryl, thank you so much for a couple of moments. So we know the record, 2-6. I mean, what would you tell us about this Giants team? Are they what their record says they are?
Yeah, they are. I mean, and they have been just inept offensively and especially inept at home. They have just pretty much not been able to get in the end zone at all at home. They have one touchdown and four home games are 0-4 at home. They obviously are done with Daniel Jones. They wanted Jaden Daniels, but they didn't lose enough at the end of last season. So, as you guys know, of course, Tommy DeVito beating the Commanders, right? So, this team is not in a good place. They played better, especially on offense against Pittsburgh, but didn't do enough to win the game. And they have major issues on their offensive line without Andrew Thomas and they just have a quarterback who isn't good enough, and that's been where they're at. So they do have some bright spots, certainly Malik Nabers, but overall this is a team that's still very much rebuilding.
Is there any acknowledgement from Giants fans of what you just talked about? And I don't know how you would do it, I guess, to rub their face in it, but we argued a lot with fans last year as Washington lost their final 8 games. This is what should happen. The higher they pick, the better, regardless of who they take or who they like. Meanwhile, Tommy DeVito was doing the, you know, chicken parm bit, and everyone's hugging each other and clapping like seals as they're winning empty calorie games. Is there an acknowledgement that ruined everything?
I mean, I was writing it. I mean, I don't know. I guess some fans got just overly taken by it just because this team hadn't won really much at all. I mean, they are 2-6. This is the seventh time in 8 seasons that the Giants have hit the 8-game mark of a season, essentially the midpoint, with 2 wins or fewer. The seventh time in 8 seasons. So this is a win-starved fan base. They started 2-8 last year. And, of course, the 2-8 came in that they dropped the 2-8 in Tommy DeVito's first start. That was the first game post Daniel Jones' ACL. And it sort of looked like, okay, at that point, they were trending toward Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May territory. Then they closed 4-3 after starting 2-8. And I think we wrote it right after that game in Washington, in Landover. You know, this is a game that really hurts their draft position, and it did. I mean, you saw in Hard Knocks, Brian Daboll straight up said he wanted to trade up for Jaden Daniels. At that point, it was not going to happen. I mean, the Drake May thing was the only iron in the fire they had, and they wanted him too. And they wanted to be done with Dale Jones, even though they would have had to keep him this year because of his contract. But, I think any sensible Giants fan should have understood or should now at least understand what a potentially franchise crippling for several years thing that was for them to close 4-3 with 3 of those wins coming with Tommy DeVito playing. Because if Jaden Daniels continues to be as good as he looks like right now, I mean, the Giants don't get a quarterback next year who they wind up winning a lot with, then they're going to look back on this and really regret what happened at the end of the 2023 season.
Darryl Slater, NJ.com, with the scouting the opponent, talking New York Giants. So my nerves come from, A, the fact that Washington doesn't play well against the Giants. I know that's it's been different this year. Everything's different for us. But even still, for the last five matchups and even beyond have gone the Giants' way. And this pass rush, 20 sacks between Lawrence, Ojulari, and Burns. Washington's been really lucky in terms of, you know, sack fumbles and some of those kinds of turnovers. They're due for one of those games that happens all the time in the NFL, and a great pass rush is maybe what can do it. That's kind of what I'm looking at here, Darryl. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the one team that Daniel Jones does seem to play well against. I mean, now, granted, their offense didn't do a whole lot. The Giants didn't in that first game, but they're 21-18, right? So, but for this Giants team, that's an offensive explosion. But defensively, they need to get home with what you said. You know, they need to have Dexter Lawrence be the guy who looks like one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league, a guy who's in the conversation certainly for defensive player of the year. And Brian Burns, I don't know, he's never going to live up to the contract and the trade. It was a huge investment, but he's been really, really good. To his credit, he has been very good and playing hurt too, playing through a groin injury, now playing through a sore Achilles. He has been excellent, and they haven't missed Kayvon Thibodeau one bit. And by the way, he is not a particularly, great pass rusher, certainly hasn't shown to be one. So Azeez Ojulari has been a more than capable replacement for Kayvon Thibodeau, a guy in Ojulari who's struggled with durability issues throughout his career. So yeah, I think that's a way, and that's what the Giants were going to have to do to win in Pittsburgh. They were going to have to get a big defensive play. And as we know, they did. They got the fumble that turned the ball over to their offense, and then the T.J. Watt strip sack, everyone knows. They saw it. I mean, they got what they needed, and so they need that to happen again. But this time, of course, they need their offense to actually take advantage of that. And so, yeah, I think that there's certainly a potential matchup advantage there for the Giants.
Will this team, talking about the Giants, sell at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at who are they going to sell. Like Darius Slayton, I guess, could be a guy that could be moved. Like, I guess maybe Ojulari, if you think Kayvon Thibodeau is coming back, because Ojulari is in the final year of his contract, of his rookie deal. I don't know what you're getting for guys like that, but they don't really have a lot of tradable pieces that they would trade. You know what I mean? Like, teams would love to have Dexter Lawrence, but they're not trading Dexter Lawrence. So the mid-level type players, I think Slayton's the guy to watch in that regard.
Why have they been so bad stopping the run? It feels to me like Washington's going to be able to run the ball. They're dead last statistically. Has it actually been that bad?
Awful. Awful. I mean, you saw Brian Robinson ran right through him at the end of that game in week two. And it happened with Saquon Barkley, of course. And then it happened with Najee Harris last Monday night in Pittsburgh. I mean, this team has not been able to stop the run to save their lives. And I think part of it comes from they really miss Leonard Williams, the guy they traded away last year. And they did get good draft capital for him, but they really miss him as a run-stopping presence in the middle there. We know Lawrence is a really good player, but that's been a major issue. They've had big-time problems tackling with their safeties at the second, two-and-a-half, really third level, I guess. Obviously, you don't want a guy to get to that point as a running back, but they've had significant tackling issues, and they don't really have anyone on the interior of that line who's a really good run-stopper. They have not been able to capably replace Leonard Williams there.
Is Tyrone Tracy going to play?
It looks like he will, yeah. He's in the final stage of the concussion protocol, and right probably now as we're talking, he is meeting with the independent neurologist, and this is the final checkup for him. He's trending toward I would be surprised if he was not cleared, honestly. And he is a guy who, the perfect example of why you don't draft a running back second overall and don't pay the guy an insane amount of money and don't franchise tag him and do all the things they did with Saquon Barkley, absent paying him like a long-term contract. But, fifth-round running back who has college wide receiver experience, he's a nice little find for them. Not even little. He's been a nice find for them. He was great in Pittsburgh, one of their few bright spots in that game. But, yeah, it looks like he will play, yes.
Darryl Slater's with us, NFL reporter and analyst, New Jersey Advance Media, the Star Ledger on Grant and Danny. We're scouting the Giants. It does seem like, speaking of Tracy, that their draft was pretty good. Maybe it's too early to celebrate it, but I mean, how much of a help is that going to be for Joe Shane in the grand scheme of things? I know there's some movement toward major wholesale changes with him and Dable. Seems like the early returns on that draft class from this past year are really good.
I mean, it's saving him because the first two drafts were pretty bad. I mean, the seventh overall pick in 2022, Evan Neal, a right tackle who can't get on the field, even with all the issues they've had with Andrew Thomas out, right? You'd think they all just move Jermaine Illuminor, your right tackle, over to left tackle and start Evan Neal. Nope, they won't even put him on the field. I mean, that was and the Thibodeau pick does not look good. Josh Azudu in round three, another bad offensive lineman in 2022. This draft has really made up for that. I mean, Neighbors looks like a really good player. Tyler Newbin, a safety in round two, looks solid. Their slot corner, Drew Phillips, in round three, looks like a really good player. Tracy in round five. So they've gotten some production from this draft so far. Yeah, definitely looks like a good one. And this was a draft that Joe Shane could not afford to miss on after, you know, whiffing most notably on Evan Neal and Azudu in that first draft in 2022.
You touched on this O-line, Daryl. Give me a state of the union of that group right now.
Bad. I mean, well, look, okay, maybe I'm being overly...
I'm sorry.
They are better as a pass blocking. So here's where the numbers get skewed. They were the worst pass blocking offensive line in the league last year. They were a middle of the pack group before Andrew Thomas' injury, and that is a crippling injury. Crippling. They haven't been able to run block great. Now, that's changed the last couple weeks, right? So they've gotten better in that area. The problem is they have no answer for replacing Andrew Thomas. And I know when you lose your left tackle, especially one as good as Andrew Thomas, that's going to be crippling. So what did they do, right? They knew that Josh Azudu could not start at left tackle. They tried it last year. He did not do well. They knew that Evan Neal had issues at right tackle, so they signed Jermaine Illuminor, a guy who can play left tackle. Andrew Thomas gets hurt this year. What do? They put Azudu out there, and he's bad. On Monday night, they played Chris Hubbard, and he played one of the worst games you'll ever see. He allowed 12 pressures. I think his PFF grade was like 9 for pass blocking. And they're going to start him again this week. He's their left tackle this week because they don't trust Azudu. So they have no, and their interior line is not great pass blocking wise. Those all three of those guys, John Runyon, John Michael Schmitz, Greg Van Roten, you know, solid enough players, but not good pass blockers. So Illuminor had been really good pass blocking. You can't kill him, I don't think, for the TJ Watt thing because Daniel Jones was supposed to move a blocker, a tight end, over there to block, and he didn't. That was on Daniel Jones, talking about the strip sack. And they have shown some progress at pass blocking, but when you see a game like what they had from Hubbard on Monday, that really skews it. So you have to look at what they are right now. What they are right now is a team that has basically a ghost at left tackle. They have nobody to block at left tackle. And that is a huge problem, obviously.
Yeah, that's a disaster. And it's not like the Commanders' edge pressure is a strength, but they've certainly been able to generate scheming up a whole lot of pressures with Frankie Louvu and some of the guys they bring downhill. So that seems opportunistic and pretty ideal for them. I mean, what's your prediction on the game, first of all? And if the Giants did somehow knock off Washington, how would they have done it?
Well, I think they just need a defensive or a special team score or an advantageous play, you know, in terms of putting their offense in position to have a really, really short field to just tap the putt in for a touchdown. And, geez, I mean, I don't know how much better of a position they got to put them in, but, like, maybe inside the 10? Can they score a touchdown inside the 10 if they get the ball there? I do think, you know, Jaden Daniels is a guy who has clearly grown up before everyone's eyes here exponentially week over week. He's a much better player even than he was in week two already, it seems like, just watching him from afar. And so I think this Washington offense will be more productive. Can they stop Brian Robinson? I mean, like, that's a big thing too, right? So I think the Giants will not score a ton of points. They're going to have to muck it up and win ugly like they were going to have to do in Pittsburgh. And so if the Giants win this game, it'll be with, I would say, you know, 21 or fewer points. So if they can win this game 21-20 or something like that, that's really their best shot. I think this Giant team is probably capping out at 24 points with the way their offense is playing. Now, are they going to hold Jaden Daniels and company to under 24? I don't think so. I think the Giants will probably lose this game, you know, by a touchdown or so, 31-24, 30-24, something like that, at best in terms of their offense, right? I think that's the best you can expect. If they win this game, then it will be, you know, I think an outstanding performance by their defense against a a kid who is clearly one of the future stars in the NFL. And then I think you got to remember, too, for all the great things he's done, still a young quarterback. And so we see, you know, every time there's a great rookie quarterback like this, they can be prone to a hiccup here or there, and that's fine. That's understandable. You get that. But the thing that Washington's done, obviously, is they've bought themselves so much wiggle room here. And that's what the Giants did in Dable's first year. They started 6-1, then they started 7-2. And since 7-2 in 2022, Brian Dable is 10-21-1 in the regular season when playing his starters. That doesn't count Week 18 that first year because they breasted everybody. So, yeah, that gives you a lot of wiggle room for what you can do. The Giants wanted to make their playoffs 9-7-1. So, anyway, that's what I, you know, that's sort of how I think the recipe goes if the Giants are going to win this game. I don't think they will. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I don't think they will.
Daryl, you touched on this, and I'll let you out on this. Maybe the defensive plan, strategy here, right? Because this pass rush is so good, you want to set up times where they can get home. Do you expect them to be aggressive, blitzing downhill, keep everything in front, maybe a Brian Robinson game? Kind of how would you describe that defensive approach game plan for the Giants?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to blitz a ton. That's not really what Shane Bowen does compared to Wink Martindale, his predecessor. So they play a lot more zone coverage, and I think that that's kind of what you'll see in this game.
Great information. We appreciate the insight on the Giants. Thank you, Daryl.
Thanks, guys.
Be good. That's how you scout the Giants. Good insider there. By the way, there's not a lot about that team he likes. I mean, it's nice.
How's your offensive line? Bad.
Every answer started with, how's this part of the team? Terrible. Bad. Awful. Couldn't be us.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I felt that way. Wait, I'm being told last year.
Here's the thing. I've done that hit. So have you.
Yeah.
I've gone on another market. Oh, it's god awful, you guys. How much time do you have? Oh, it's so bad. Not us.
But think about how different a year is, or even now a month is,
uh-huh.
Where the people that are coming on to talk to us from Carolina, from New York, it's like they're talking to the show in the town with the great team. Where they're like, oh, you guys have nothing to worry about. I still just don't really know how to do those conversations.
Uh-huh.
I've never done them. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, or do you feel bad for them? Do you take pity? Do you pat them on the head? It's weird to be great.
Yep. It's awkward. Like, I was there. I was where you were, Daryl Slater, not that long ago. I'm not there now, but I remember it.
We're going to use the FanDuel player props to play a little over or under next on Grant and Danny. In 40 minutes, your chance to win tickets to the Caps-Penguins game next Friday night. Everybody wants to go to. They're giving out 50th anniversary sweaters when you walk in the door. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny live at the Kraft House in Fairfax, where we are at Fairfax Corner for another stop of our Football Friday field trip series on GND. Taking you up to 6:30, we got Caps tickets for you at 4. Coming up at 5 o'clock today, we will dive into a headline from every single NFL game. But we've been chewing on this Washington matchup with the Giants. A chance to be 7-2 for the first time since 1996. So play along with me here for a second. Those of you that are on site or anybody that's not hanging out with us in their car, what were you doing in 1996? 1996. That is the last time this team was 7-2. So I will tell you that I was 8 years old. Maybe I was still seven. I don't know. I guess for the football season, I probably would have been 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And your boy was in Mrs. Whitwam's class.
Not
I
Mrs.
Think.
Whitwam's class.
I think I was in Mrs. Whitwam's class. And I believe the highlight that year was for Valentine's Day, Faye McCardle, who was my girlfriend.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, we never held hands or anything or, like, really talked to each other.
I was
going to
say, you're a married man, Grant. What are you talking about?
I don't even think we ever talked to each other, but she was my girlfriend.
Right, officially.
She was a swimmer, and she got Joe Jacoby's autograph for me at a swim meet.
Oh.
Because she was swimming against Joe Jacoby's daughter. That was the highlight of my year.
What a gift that is.
Right around 1996, Danny Ruiz.
How about that?
What was Danny doing in 1996?
Right around now, this weekend, homecoming.
Homecoming.
Yep. Took my. This is a girl that I knew.
Okay.
Who I was friends with. Again, I'm a married man, so I this is not anything.
Are we not getting a name? Or are we getting a name?
I could do a first name.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Not
a made up girl from camp.
Okay.
She was very real. People have met her. So many people.
How many people?
Many people.
Okay.
So many people. There were times where we would hang out, and it was just us. Other times, it was other people there. But yeah, I mean, we were friends, and we went to homecoming. That was this weekend. That was a big weekend. It was a lot of fun. I tried to get into homecoming with my letter jacket on, which was tough. That was tough. They were like, "You can't do that." And I was like, "Come on."
It's been a long time, yeah, man. Just a casual 28 years. And I think what's so amazing about that is I'm not belittling the 7-2 accomplishment. Because to be clear, it's a big deal. It shouldn't be that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been 7-2 once. You just kind of accidentally do it. You just kind of stub your toe into it.
Yeah.
You get a good bounce of the football. You get a nice start to the season. The schedule's fortuitous. It shouldn't be a once every quarter century, twice in my lifetime kind of deal, which is what they've turned it into around here. Dan Snyder never did it.
No, he didn't.
Josh Harris has a chance to do it right off the bat. Think about it that
way. I was looking for a dichotomy. Is there any good point of comparison?
Let's bring in our producer, Darris Dameron, who is going to feed us some over-under props. This is the FanDuel props that I'm a FanDuel guy. You know this about
me.
Yes,
I do know that. Yeah.
They assign individually to players based on their projections for the game. We're going to pick over or under. This is a nice little behind the scenes on how we view this game going.
All right, let's start with the passing
props. And let's get Darris cranked up if you could do that for us.
Yes, indeed. Let's start with the passing props. We got quarterback Jaden Daniels set at 228.5 passing yards, over or under, boys.
I got a slight under on this one. I think there's underage. I think their whole goal, talking about the New York Football Giants, is to not let big plays happen in the passing game. I don't see that happen. There'll be some completed passes. They will complete a 4 pass in this game. That's my hot take. I'm willing to go on record and say that. But I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to lead you to big chunk yardage unless it's a busted tackle or something like that. So I've got a slight under here, right around 220.
Daniels hit the Hail Mary to go over 3 Bills. That was his first 300-yard game in his career. This past week, he went for 326. He's comfortably been over this number, though, in each of his last 2 performances where he played the entire game. Threw for 270 against the Ravens and then the 325 this past week. I am going to go under. This is not about Daniels. This is about the fact that I think Washington's going to win the game, maybe handily, and I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think Brian Robinson goes for 100. I could see Eckler and McNichols combining for 40 or 50. I think Daniels could run for 50 or 60 yards. I think as a team, there'll be a 200 rushing yard performance. They're going to be scoring in the mid-20s. I just don't think they're going to have to throw the football all that much to win. So I'll say under. I think he goes for like 210, 220, something like that.
Will Daniel Jones do the Daniel Jones thing against the Washington Commanders as he usually does and go over his prop of 204.5 passing yards?
Jones will go over because they'll be chasing the football game. They're going to be throwing in the second half. He'll go for 230, 240. The question with him, though, is touchdowns, not really yards. They have moved the ball. I mean, if you look up the numbers 20-20, they're not a terrible offense. They're middling. There's nothing exciting about them. But they just don't punch it across the goal line, especially at home, where they have 2 touchdowns, I think, all season. I think they will go over that number in passing, though. Daniel Jones, for some reason, he sees Washington. His eyes light up a little bit, those eyes that are kind of beady and locked in.
A little bit beady, yeah.
178-2 scores on just 26 attempts last game. I think it's over 30 attempts this time around. He goes over.
He went under the first game, which is a stunning upset in the history of stunning upsets. I think he goes over this game slightly. I do think they'll be trailing, but I also think he'll have some success. I think Washington's whole point here is we don't think you can beat us consistently, so they'll let him try a couple different times.
Moving on to the rushing props. Let's start with running back number 1, Brian Robinson. They've got a set of 63.5.
Over on that. I think he has a feast. I think this is Thanksgiving. Wear your sweatpants, not the tight ones. It's not formal Thanksgiving. It's the one where there's no judgment, no family hold back. I'm going to eat as much as I possibly can. I think he goes for 100 yards and a tutty.
Yeah, I got a big Brian Robinson day. He has run for 100 yards just twice this year. 101 against Arizona, 133 against the Giants on 17 attempts. This is the statistical 32nd ranked, dead last, worst team in the league stopping the run. He has not even gone for 75 since that Arizona game. He missed Baltimore, but he ran for 18 against Cleveland, 71 against Carolina, 65 against Chicago. It is a get-right, big-time game for B-Rob. He goes way over.
You know who else runs the ball pretty well for the Washington Commanders?
Who's that?
That'd be Jaden Daniels. They have his prop set at 46.5.
I will go over that.
You're going to go over?
He's gone over each of the last 2 weeks. I have predicted Jaden Daniels to go over as a rusher in every single game he has played this season. In fact, remember, he had a 46-yard run. He got hurt on it 2 weeks ago. And I've been predicting there's still like a 65 or 70-yarder coming, that Robert Griffin against the Vikings kind of performance. So right now, this moment, I'm going to tell you that Jaden Daniels' big home run is still coming. I'm not going to call that 46-yarder the home run. There is a long, long touchdown in his future, and until he hits it, I'm going to keep predicting it. I'm going over. Easy. 46.5?
46.5.
Yep. He's been over that in all but one game over the last six games.
Yeah, three of his last four games, he's gone well over that total, with the one exception against the Ravens at 22. I just think the Giants are going to play so soft here that he's going to get carries. He'll get forward progress. He'll get some rushing yards. I just don't see that big one happening because I think they're going to back off, play zone, swarm, tackle. I see it as kind of a 40-yard day for him, so I'll go a slight under.
The quarterback for the New York Giants is pretty mobile too. They have his rushing prop set at 25.5 for Daniel Jones.
Over on this one, I think you saw it last week with Caleb Williams escaping contain, escaping some of those tackles, and he was a factor running the football. That was their best offense for much of that first half when they didn't have much. But I do think with this bad offensive line, Jones will get out of there a couple of times, get you a double-digit run, a couple back-breaking third downs here and there. I think that's how they'll stay in the football game. If they do, it'll be some of those scrambles. I think he goes over that total.
I don't really know why this is. My hypothesis would be that they've really majored in the short passing game. But he's stopped running the last 2 weeks. He has a combined 21 yards. He had three carries for 1 yard, which is kind of like the, you're getting sacked rushing attempts for, immobile quarterbacks numbers last week. It's the second time in about a month he's had a game like that. I'm going to say he goes over because they don't have a left tackle. We just scouted the Giants. Their offensive line's in shambles. Washington's going to get pass rush. He'll be running for his life. But I'm not confident in it. He's post-ACL, he does not run as much. I mean, he has really tabled the rushing. He's had two games this year where he's had more than six runs. So I don't feel great about it.
On to the receiving props. He's number 17 on the field, but he's number one in our hearts. Terry McLaurin, 61.5 receiving yards.
Over. Been hammering Terry overs throughout the season. I will continue to. Do you know that Terry McLaurin is on pace for 1,230 yards, which would be a career high for Terry McLaurin? Did you know that as of the conclusion of games last week, he was ranked fourth in the NFL in receiving yards? Now, he's obviously played more games than some of the guys that have had byes, but still, fourth in the NFL in receiving yards ain't nothing for Terry. 57 targets already this season. They've really, since those first 2 weeks where it was a slow developing rapport, it seemed like, they have made up for lost time. He's the one guy I like to hammer the over on in the passing game because they prioritize him, they feed him the football, and then otherwise it's kind of a get-in-where-you-fit-in situation.
Yeah, I do it with him. I also, as a quick side, hammer every week Austin Ekeler over in passing totals. Until it starts to get north of 30 or 35, I'm just going to keep riding with Austin Ekeler. But in terms of McLaurin, that's right around where I got him. They're good at this, these whole Vegas gentlemen making these lines. I've got a slight over on this one. I don't think he goes for a huge day. I don't think this is a 100-yard Terry McLaurin day. He's gone over this total in four of his past six games for Washington as his passing game has gotten going. I don't see a huge day. I think they're going to keep him in front for the most part, but he'll have a nice afternoon.
Tight end Zach Ertz had a big game last week, seven catches for over 70 yards. Will he repeat that performance? They have his over-under set at 36.5.
I got a slight under here. I think he's going to catch passes, as he always does, but he'll be working underneath. I think there'll be a little bit less, a space for him to operate. I think they're going to play rush with four for the most part, cover with seven. He's not going to escape very much. It'll be a lot of catch and fall alerts. He'll be right around 30, 32 yards.
36 is the total?
36.5.
He's been over that three straight weeks. He's had 68 and 77 in two of the last 3 weeks. Way over. I feel great about this. This is probably my most confident I've been in anything you've asked us. He'll be the number two receiver to Terry McLaurin as he is most weeks. I will go over for Zach Ertz. Quick look at the FanDuel props with producer Darius. Thank you, Darius, as always. We're starting to say over a little more, particularly you.
Yeah.
Early in the year was a lot of unders.
Uh-huh.
You're starting to believe a little more in the good guys.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what happens, I guess, when every single week they just keep making us think they're really good.
Yeah, you average 35 points a game. I'll start to hammer the over here and there, I would say.
We did not bring our wheel. We should do that for the next Football Friday field trip.
Oh, the wheel.
We have an impression wheel that Danny's going to be using in studio with us, so we can maybe spin that and get some predictions.
Oh, that'd be
from
fun.
Somebody
we
else.
Can use it that way. Yeah, so it's dry erase. So I filled out all the different slots with some impressions. But right. there's a couple. One that's wild card, where you guys just tell me what to do, and I'll do it right then. And we can also, like, adjust on the fly if we get bored of one. You know what I mean? We can, like, erase it and put it in there.
Do you have a Chris Berman? Can you work on
no.
that for the
My
wheel?
Berman stinks. I just, like, that thing, I can't really do the Berman, though.
But you can do the sounds.
Yeah.
But not the.
I can do that. That's not good, though. you know what I'm doing.
You can put it on the wheel and just grunt a little
And just
bit.
Grunt some?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen if they get?
Well, like, we could spin the wheel. We get a mic'd up wheel. and then like, Shannon Sharp has to go over under Terry McLaurin 61.5.
Whatever number he's going over, Terry McLaurin's going to explode in this game. He's going to literally be TNT, where he's going to be dynamite and explode all over the field. It's going to be a mess. He's going for 710 yards in this one. Offense, defense, special teams.
I did see that Lou Holtz was on the wheel, but I thought, weren't you banned from doing Lou Holtz?
So, I don't think so.
Okay.
The issue was, well, you know, I don't want to get into the issue. That's yeah. that's an off the air story. I don't know. Actually, our boss is here. We should actually ask him if that's
does
okay.
Does Lou Holtz have Zach Ertz over 36.5?
Let me tell you something about Zach Ertz, okay? He's a football player. When Zach Ertz plays football, people are going to say that's a football player right there. Because when you look at Ertz, okay, he puts a helmet on, he's got pads on, he's going to have the uniform of his football team, and he's going to catch passes. And that's what he does. That's Zach Ertz for you. It's a hard name to say if you're Lou Holtz, because Lou Holtz doesn't say his S's. All that great. And so Ertz is a Z sound, but it's an S on the end. It's hard to say it. But Ertz goes over this one. He's a football player.
We're going to win off the field next. It is Friday. You don't do it for me or Danny. You do it for the Goose, Bruce Allen. You can line up your calls now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. These are your little teeny tiny moral victories. What's going right in your day that's made you smile that nobody else would care about? How are you winning off the field going into a great football weekend? We're G&D from Kraft House Fairfax. We'll be here broadcasting live until 6:30 on The Fan. G&D on a football Friday. Our field trip series continuing. Kraft House Fairfax. We are in the Fairfax Corner area on Palace Way. We'll be here until 6:30, so come on out. Hang with us. Enjoy yourself some lunch. I guess now it's early dinner.
It could be whatever you want it to be.
That's
I think that's
point.
The beauty of it, right? It's like, this is my lunch. Okay, this is my dinner. All right, I'm not
judging you. I'm working right now. I have my. If you have a laptop on the table, that just means you're at work. I think that's the line of
science.
Delineation.
Yeah, that's scientific. I buy that.
Like your boss walks in and goes, what are you doing here?
We're currently working.
He's
a laptop.
Got it, right?
Yeah, I'm the laptop.
Like,
right,
what do you think, boss? Or this is my office.
Excuse me. It's a very important business. Business thing.
As long as you touch a button on the keyboard every 5 or so minutes, I think they think that you're still hard at work. Isn't that how it works?
I think that's scientific, right?
That's
like, that's
algorithm.
One of those things that actually totally works, you know?
It's time to figure out how people are winning off the field on this Friday. These are little teeny tiny moral victories that make you feel good. Something that nobody else would care about. Danny, give us an example.
No school today for the kids. No school Monday, no school Tuesday. That's not the win.
By the way, they're doing a little thing called No School November around here.
Yeah, it is something. Anyway, again, I'm in favor of what I'm supposed to be in favor of. I hate the thing that you hate. We're on the same side. The only thing is the kids are at home. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Et cetera, et cetera. Another hero steps forward. This was a couple weeks ago when, again, there was also no school, which is no fun. Anyway, one of the no school days, when all the grown-ups had to work, one parent had a child with a birthday. They initially scheduled it on a Saturday, but they moved it to a Monday without school and said, we'll take your kids. They took these little 6 and 7-year-olds to laser tag in a limo and did this whole big production, and it was awesome. Today, another hero. Matt and Nina, shout out. Wherever you are, I hope this gets to you. You're heroes. You took all of our neighborhood kids out of the house for hours so the adults could work. I dropped him off at a birthday party today. Because he's not at home wasting away, staring at Roblox with his headphones on, going, bruh, bruh, he's sold, bruh, bruh, let's go, for 7 hours. I am.
Winning off the field.
There it is.
I'm going to make mine short and sweet for you.
Thanks, bud.
Last night was Halloween.
Yep.
Kids had a great time trick-or-treating. The neighborhood showed up, I got to say, occasionally, right? The fear. How are the neighbors going to handle this? Are they going to deliver the goods? It's a big game. Are they going to make a big play? I think for the most part, we did a really good job in the neighborhood. Kids get home. They dump out their big pile of candy right on the table. Check out their loot. A lot of candies that I like in that pile. lot of candy in that pile that old dad enjoys. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And even better, my son looks at me and he goes, do I like this one? He asked me, do I like this one? It was a Reese's cup. And the answer was, no, you don't like that one.
Oh, you hate that one. You're allergic, buddy.
Those are yucky.
Icky.
Tell you what.
You don't want that.
They're so yucky, daddy will take it for you. That's the kind of dad I am.
Dad'll throw it away for you. Get it away. Icky, ew.
They went right in the freezer. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
To the phones we go. Alex is in Annandale, home of the Adams. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, let's go, Adams.
Buddy.
All right. So as of recent, I've been wasting my adult money in a new hobby. Been trying to collect Jaden Daniel rookie cards in the wild. So I've been going around Target, Walmart, trying to find football cards, and been striking out recently. My fiance has no problem with it. You know, she's been going to Target, Walmart. You know, she's been doing her thing. But I've been finding out that Costco actually carries football cards as well. So I told myself, I'm going to get off work early today. I'm going to dedicate myself, go to different Costco's, and I'm going to try to find myself one of these nice little trading card packs and just, you know, open some cards and try to find myself a Jaden Daniels card. Well, I go and I open up my membership and I say, I'm going to go to different Costco's and open up. Very first Costco I go, I find my pack and I check out and save myself a trip to 10 different Costco's. So I am
winning off the field.
Boom. Attaboy.
There you go.
That's how the game is played.
So you do it.
Luke is in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Luke.
What's up, boys?
Hey, buddy.
Grant, this one's right up your alley. So last weekend I had a poker game, bought a bunch of snacks. I forgot to bring in the chocolate chip cookies. I brought in everything else, but I forgot about it. And then today I was getting in the car to go home and I had to move some stuff around. Realized I had some brown butter chocolate chip cookies in the back.
Oh, no.
And immediately shoved two into my face. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Can I ask, were they in a Tupperware case, like just sitting in the car for a few days the whole time? How were they kept?
Yeah, they were in a bag behind behind my seat.
Oh.
And in the plastic container from Whole Foods. Whole Foods brown butter chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, just a gift from the heavens. That's what we're looking for.
That's pretty great.
God shined down on him today.
That bonus chocolate chip cookie. Not just a car cookie that's left out with all the elements.
And your wife doesn't even have to eat them. You know? There's no questioning.
Unless she's listening, she's not going to find out.
I mean, here's the veteran move. Don't throw any of the evidence in the trash can at your house.
Use one of the neighbor's trash cans?
Use one of the neighbor's trash cans. Either a neighbor's trash can or a trash can at a public location nearby.
Was it your guy Hans that used to invade his trash can?
Oh, yeah.
With your rappers?
Hans knew. Hans gave me permission.
Yeah.
I was like, Hans, if I stop by McDonald's and my wife finds out, it's going to be bad. He's like, I got you, bro. No worries. He puts the trash can out the same day as I do.
Use the facility, pal.
Right over here.
Love it.
And I would give Hans the same treatment.
Of course, the same courtesy.
If Hans needs to go get a chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A and doesn't want to hear the what for about it, Hans can use my trash can.
Well, but then what if – now, here's the thing. If your wife were to find that, she would not believe if you were like, that's not mine. She would never believe
point.
That you're like, it's totally Hans's. And then now – Hans is in trouble because she's going to share it with Hans's wife.
I guess I never considered that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing Hans was very skinny.
Right.
Very, very skinny.
He's in shape.
John's in Germantown. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, guys. I can't believe I have to follow Bag Cookie Face Guy, but we're going to go for it.
You'll be fine. You'll be all right. Believe in yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Danny, because you're my guy, because I know you got a file on this. I'm not sure about Grant, but we got Caps tomorrow and football on Sunday, but we got to get there. Enter The Diplomat Season 2 on Netflix. Everybody died in a car bomb at the end of Season 1, but they can't have died because there's a Season 2. So we got 6 episodes.
Winning off the field.
There you got it.
Now, a little bit of a spoiler alert's needed there, I'm going to say. I think I've watched more of The Diplomat than you have, Manny.
It's in my this is a weird time for your pal.
Yeah.
I've got a backup of shows. It's a backlog. There are times where I'm so starved for content. I'm like, hey, content people. Where's my content?
Now,
right, I'm waiting for it. Now I got all sorts of stuff I got to watch.
Now, this is going to be a little bit uncomfortable because we're in public.
Uh-oh.
That's a Kerry Russell situation. I'm a big fan of Kerry Russell's.
Why? Do you like her?
Kerry Russell is an outstanding actress.
Oh.
And, like, she's in that, like, you know, 45 to 50 year old outstanding actress category that's appealing to so many people.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. She's tremendous on the show The Americans.
She's very good.
She acts incredibly well on that show.
Nobody's a better actress. Kerry Russell in The Diplomat. You haven't seen it at all?
I have not seen The Diplomat.
I have not seen the end of the first season, I will tell you. But now I know what happens, so I don't have to see the end.
No, you need to see it. It's only a six epi.
No,
right?
it is. A short one? I'm about halfway through. There's just so many other things I'm watching.
I enjoy it so much
when I watch it, but I haven't been cranking it out. It has not been like my priority to watch it when I have free time.
Yeah.
It's a good show, though. Very, very good. And I'm psyched that he's psyched. The thing on Netflix you got to be watching, though, is the documentary on the Zodiac Killer. That's what you got to be watching right now.
It's in the queue, just like 10 other things are. I'm almost done with Mr. McMahon. The documentary about just the rise and subsequent fall of Vince McMahon.
That's on deck for me.
Oh, my God, is it good. It's terrific.
Top of the hour, Beltway Blitz, right at 4 o'clock. We are giving away tickets to the Caps and the Penguins this coming Friday night, a week from today. You're going to want to be in the arena. Got a great jersey giveaway. We got your tickets right here on The Fan.